Now it's time to look through the window of baseball, as we like to do every weekend for Marvin Windows and Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice. We bring in our good friend, Bruce Jenkins. How are you, Bruce?
Hey, Marty. Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, let me tell you, Bruce, it's one of those glorious days down here today. You know, the sunshine and the mountains in the background, and here we have Seattle and the Giants. So there's just, I don't know how to explain it any better. It's just beautiful here.
Yeah, I was down there for a full week, and it was like that every day but one when it rained like crazy, but that's okay. And, you know, it's that great time of year in Arizona. Some of the people I know that live down there, come August, they're ready to move to anywhere, you know, the Philippines, you know. This time of year, it's beautiful. The weather's nice and soft, not a lot of wind. The evenings are great. You got baseball during the day, and then you go out, especially if you're in Scottsdale. I would so recommend this to anybody, and bring the kids down there. It's a really, really a fantastic experience. And from what I've noticed, the crowds aren't just so overflowing to where you show up at a park and you can't get in. Just about every park I went to, you were able to get a ticket and just walk right in. Geez, the Dodgers' very first game was only about half full, which, you know, that's the way it should be, not half full. But you should always be able to just walk into a spring training game, and boom, there you are.
Yeah, get a ticket. Today, with the Mariners here, it's a Saturday. It's a gorgeous day. I bet we'll have over 10,000 today, and that berm will be filled up. You know, we love to look out there.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, it's a split squad. The Futures game here, believe it or not, the rookies play against the Giants split squad. And then the rest of the guys go to Glendale to face Kershaw and the Dodgers.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Kershaw, I saw him pitch against the A's a few days ago at Phoenix, and he kind of got dinged up by the likes of, you know, Fuld and Punto and some of those bench guys, you know, and he was pretty ticked off afterward. It's been kind of an awkward spring for him because, you know, is he going to pitch in Australia? Has he had enough work to go ahead and pitch what's going to be the season opener, you know, in Australia on March 22nd, a game that really counts. But, you know, knowing Kershaw, he'll get it together. I guess it looks like he might pitch down there now. For a while, it looked like he wouldn't, but who knows? Who knows with him? But he's going to be tough on the Giants. That's the one thing you know for sure.
Yeah, and he'll get pumped up for it. And, you know, they open up, let's say tomorrow, let's see, today's the 8th. They open up 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is going to pitch, you know, he's got to get up to 65, 70 pitches tomorrow. So
yeah.
I imagine it'll be an interesting game. Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, I start off the show today talking about Mark Minakazi. And, you know, you and I sit down here and we talk about the phenoms of spring training. And this guy is now fit the mold, 31 years old. He's swinging the bat, hitting .429, slugging .857. I love the story. You got to see him.
Shades of Randy Elliott.
Isn't that the one? Come on, 6.25, right?
Yeah, Giants fans will remember Randy Elliott is a guy who just absolutely owned spring training, and oh my God, he's going to be in the outfield, and then they start throwing curveballs. Is the old story? this guy is great. I mean, you know, Bochy loves him. I think, you know, in the back of his mind, Bochy goes, "Geez, you know, I'd love to have a spot on the team for this guy." And you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. About the you get so stifled with a five-man bench. If you have a pitching staff as large as the Giants, you've got only five guys in the bench. They've got to be kind of versatile. You can't have a Matt Stairs kind of guy, really. Just like one of those guys who just, you know, he can hit. He's going to pinch hit in the eighth inning for us. You know, it's very hard to keep guys like that. I'm sure Bochy wishes the rosters were a little bit larger. But, I mean, what a great story. The guy's been, you know, everywhere, and he's still just, he's still just fresh. He's still ready to go. He's still ready to take a crack at the bigs, you know. He hit an opposite field homer yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he go the other way? I mean, yeah, he's fantastic. It'll be interesting to see, you know, realistically, you know, where they put him in the minors and how he fares there.
You know, it's funny, you know, you talk about the great pinch hitters of all time, and, you know, we could start naming a few, you know, but Smokey Burgess comes to mind. Now, he's a catcher. And you know, fans, you can look him up. Everyone's got the internet. Look up Smokey Burgess. But he looked like your Uncle Jack when he would come up to the plate. He didn't look like a – and he never warmed up. He would just stay on the training table, come in, get a bat, and hit. And guys like that, unfortunately, there's no room for him today. But I'll tell you one thing. If you got a guy who can come off the bench and get a hit late in the game, they're worth their weight in gold. They are.
Yeah. You know, guys like – it goes back a ways. You know, Jerry Lynch and George Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
Manny Mota, And you know, in the days when pitching staffs were much thinner and guys went nine, and you could afford to have a good deep bench, which is just invaluable for that reason. Just in general, if you're going to go 12, 13 innings, I've lobbied, I'm sure, without any chance of it happening, but to eliminate the DH and add two roster spots for every team. I mean, you talk about losing the DH salary. Well, meanwhile, you're getting two more jobs on every team. And you can carry guys like this, or you can carry a guy who just runs like the wind and can come in and steal your base. You know, I think that'd be way more interesting.
Well, that's a good segue to second base for this ball club. You know, Scudero still has not played, and Bochy, he's going to join us around 11:30 today, and I'm going to ask him about that. But it brings me up to Adrianza. You know, this is a guy out of options, and Bruce, you know, he can come in, he can bunt, he can steal a base, he can do all that. But he's a shortstop. Is he going to play second if Scudero can't go? That may be the biggest question in the camp right now.
Yeah, and he hasn't played a lot of second base in the exhibition games, has he? It's been mostly Noonan and Abreu.
Today he's in there today, and he's playing short today, and Noonan's at second today.
Yeah, I mean, if Adrianza's going to be the second baseman, that's a little bit awkward. You'd think he'd be playing more over there. Maybe they don't see it that way, as he'd be the guy to step in. But, you know, for Scudero, for him to show up not ready and then be a little behind schedule, as he is all of a sudden right now, it's really not good. I mean, you know, he's got the bad back. It's affected his hips. I mean, you know, hips are everything as a hitter. And it's a huge concern, I think, because whoever replaces him, just from everything we know about Abreu or Noonan, or if it were to be Adrianza, I mean, it's a different kind of guy than you get from Scudero. You know, the off-field hitting, the situational, you know, genius that he has. He can deadpool you down the line if you bust him inside. He's just he's a fine hitter, and you know, a very good second baseman and a lot of history with the club. So, I think Sabian is probably starting to wonder, you know, look around to see if maybe somebody. Somebody might be available. Somebody who's done it. You know, somebody who's got the experience as a big league second baseman. It doesn't have to be a starter, but somebody who can come in there. Because I don't think they really have that much faith in any of the kids right now.
No, but you know, something I was thinking about it, and you know, you know how we love to hang on the rail of the dugout and talk in the morning. And I guess kind of the consensus would be if Scudero couldn't go, you start our Arias. Because
yeah,
he probably could hit second. He probably could hit second, and you start him. He's a major league guy. He's been through the pressure.
Yeah.
But then the issue is, I think you do keep Adrianza because he can play short. Because you need a backup for Crawford.
Yeah, that's probably the way it goes. It makes you. Where's Ryan Thiriault when you need him?
Yeah, he's in Louisiana.
He's probably not terribly sharp right now. But yeah, that seems like the most likely. I mean, Arias has played, you know, in some big situations all over the infield. So, yeah, I think that would probably be the way to go.
Yeah, but the Adrianza thing becomes important because Abreu doesn't play short.
Mm-hmm.
And Noonan's got an option, I think. And
yeah.
Adrianza. So you carry him as your 25th guy. He can lay down a bunt. He can steal a bag. And he can be the backup to Crawford.
Yeah, he's the essence of the modern-day bench. He can do a lot of things. He's not
Smokey
Burgess, but he can do a lot of things.
Really? Not Don Zimmer either.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you wrote about baseball today, comparing baseball to some of the other sports monetarily. What was your point in that?
Well, I mean, the salary cap really bugs me in the other sports. In the NBA, first of all, nobody can understand it. There's like one guy in the country. His name is Larry Coon. Everybody, anytime there's a trade, the writers all check with Larry Coon to make sure they know everything about the damn trade. You know, you can't decipher the language. And in the NFL, I just find it really bothersome that the Niners and the Seahawks, who've done an awful lot to build powerhouses, are sitting there going, God, now, which one of our key guys do we have to unload here? Or, you know, the Champ Bailey situation, or DeMarcus Ware. All over the league, teams are having to unload great players, established players are part of the deal. And, you know, the baseball system certainly isn't perfect, but I just like it when, Brian Sabian can go, listen, we need to lock all these guys up. We don't have a lot of depth. I don't like this on the free agent or trade market. I like our guys, and by gosh, they're signing them up one by one. And, I just think you should have the freedom to do that. You shouldn't be sitting there on the eve of a season or in the off season trying to decide which guys that you really like to unload because of finances, because of an imposed financial state of mind, not whatever your pay structure happens to be. So I do like that about baseball, and I'm glad that it exists.
Yeah, and the other thing I thought about, there's so many different teams in the playoff hunt now in baseball, and I think it's because the free agency actually does work here. Now, this year was a little dicey because of the draft pick compensation,
yeah,
but it really does work, and it gets a team ready to come back and be a playoff team.
Well, it does. I mean, everybody says, well, you know, baseball, you can just spend like crazy and buy yourself a title, which is simply wrong. I mean, that's not the way it works out. Yeah, you tend to see some high payroll teams in the playoffs, and last year, you know, got the Cardinals and the Red Sox and like that. But, I mean, look at the A's. Teams are able to get to the playoffs. You know, just about everybody over the last 25 years has had a taste or gotten to the World Series, and the free agent system does work. I wouldn't want to be Irvin Santana right now.
Well, you'd be heading to Toronto with your bags.
Is he going to Toronto?
Well, apparently on Twitter this morning, MLB rumors, he's heading to Dunedin, Florida, and it looks like the Blue Jays are going to bite the bullet and take him.
Yeah, well, the way they've tied the draft to free agency where, you know, if his team makes a qualifying offer, if you sign him, you lose the number one pick, that's very stifling. I mean, the Giants weren't going to have any part of anybody who was in that category, and a lot of other teams felt the same way. I don't know if that's wise, but you're right. I do think the system does work in the overall, and the parity, the widespread parity, really is the final word.
Yeah. Well, we got a good game today, and one last thought for you. You'll be with us again tomorrow. Always a pleasure to have Bruce with us. But the pitching, the starting pitching, as long as they're playing games, you might as well pitch well. Their starting pitching's been unreal.
Yeah, I mean, how bad can it be? I mean, you can't really bank on what you've seen, but I mean, guys coming out and throwing strikes and talking about how good they feel and working with Buster, I mean, it's all good. I mean, this rotation, you know, has a little something to prove after last year, and it's encouraging. That's all you can say. It's encouraging. It doesn't mean anything necessarily, but, you know, Hudson is moving around great on the ankle. Lincecum's throwing strikes. Kane, Bumgarner, that's the heart of the Giants franchise. And,
yeah,
you know, that's where it has to start and end. So that has to be good.
Yeah, it's good. Look, last year and the 2 years before this, Lincecum couldn't get out of the second inning.
Yeah.
And
well,
now he's starting, yeah.
Yeah, when he says, I feel like I can throw any pitch on any count, you know, right on, very good.
Boy, that's maybe the best
like
statement he's ever made in his life. Really? You know, because if he gets behind and he feels he can throw a strike,
yeah,
man, that changes the landscape.
Oh, man, yeah, because his breaking pitches have always been sensational. You know, the curve and especially the splitter or the ball that drops off the table.
All right. Hey, Bruce, thanks. What are you up to today?
Kind of a quiet day today. I'm writing an NBA column right now for tomorrow's paper. And other than that, just kind of I'm going to work on some other projects. I've got some future stories in the Chronicle, so nice day at home with the family, maybe watch a little ball and a little basketball later.
All right, I'm going to give you an assignment. Andy Skiles,
yeah,
of course, he's now the hitting coach at Fresno. Very successful man. Look up his father, and you're going to get a kick out of this. And because of your father and his how successful he was in the music business, take a look at Andy Skiles' father.
What's his dad's name?
That I can't tell you his first name, but Google him, and I think you're going to find it, and I think you're going to find a story that you and I can talk about.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Sounds good.
All right. Have a good week, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins, as I gave him a homework assignment for tomorrow. Andy Skiles will be on with us, maybe not this weekend, maybe next weekend, but, boy, his father, an amazing man in the field of music. All right.